Blog Talk Radio.
Have you ever loved somebody? The way God loves somebody. He loves you.
Tuning in to the First Word. This is yours truly, Pastor C, between the Sanctuary Studio at home, Sanctuary Studio at our church. Thank God for ability to be able to have the mobile ability to finish this morning. A little bit longer in prayer this morning, and God's got to stay in prayer. So in between studios, according to we're able to broadcast live, thank God for the ability to do that. And we had an exciting time this morning dealing with men. We just want to get into it, open up the word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Jesus, thank that we humbly bow, God. Thank you for another privilege, another opportunity to come together, study your word. And Father, we pray that you will bless us, God, that we will be able to study to show ourselves through unto you. God, that we could be working and not be ashamed, but rightly dividing the word of truth. God, we ask you to bless us, that we will be able to apply this word to our lives, to share it with others. And as always, God, we pray that this will be done for your glory. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. What we wanted to talk about this morning is the will of man, and how important it is to connect the will of man with the will of God. And when you begin to start learning how life unfolds at different times, the challenges that come with life, what we have to do is we have to learn that sometimes our will is not the best for the situation. So what we have to do is we have to learn to start connecting our will of man with the will of God. So there's a surrender process to surrender our will over to God's will, and to know that God's not going to force that on us, but for us to come to the realization by faith that God knows what's best for us, because he knows the beginning of the situation and he knows the end of the situation. Or we might just know the beginning, but we don't know how the outcome. So it's best for us to learn to connect our will to the will of God, because he knows how the outcome will be. And that's one of the strongest points about a man or about any believer, if you will, is to be able to direct our will. It's a strong character, strong part of our being, our will. And if we are willed to do something, and our determination and our mindset and our whole focus to do something, that's our will. Our will is, I'm going to do this no matter what. And that we take a position, that we take a stand with our will. Say, this is what I'm going to do. This is what I'm purposing that my mind, my heart, my soul, my body to do. And when that has been locked in, it's almost impossible to break. It's almost impossible to overcome. So that's why it's important for us to connect our will with the will of God. If we do that, what happens is it allows us to become victorious in the end. And that we might not see a lot of progress at the beginning. We might not see the roses and the celebration in the beginning. But if we stick and surrender our will and stick our will with God's will, well, what happened is we know that in the end it's going to work out for us. One of the scriptures that Romans teaches that all things work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. And so when you understand that it's not always good, it's not always going to look good, it's not always going to seem like it's going to work out good, when you have your will set that no matter what it looks like, no matter what it feels like, no matter what it tastes like, no matter how stacked up it might be, my will is going to stick with God's will. And you know, people want to, you can interchange what your faith is, your faith and God's faith, and they want to interchange those things. But there's a certain thing about the will of man. Will of man is all of his hands, his feet, his faith will direct his will, and you know, because of strong faith, people can have their will directed in the right place. And so, as your faith directs your will, what happens is your actions become solidified. Your actions become constant with what your faith is willing you to do. And so one of the things we wanted to look at was what Jesus was going through great turmoil, going to the cross. He was in a place of prayer. He was in a place of great turmoil. The Bible says that he had prayed, sweat was running down like drops of blood. In other words, he was in a human predicament, if you will, and his will was being tested, the faith was being tested, the will was being tested, and through prayer, through communication with God, he said, and his humanness, can we do this another way? And, you know, when we looked at that scripture, it was like, wow, Jesus and his humanness was just like we are. Like, can we do this? Is there another possible way for us to do this? Can we approach this a different way? And, you know, that will be his human will to do it. But he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. In other words, he understood that his human will would not accomplish the things that God wanted to accomplish. So he said, not my will, but thy will be done. So he connected his human will with the will of God and was able to endure, was able to make it through to accomplish the will of God and to be victorious in the will of God. And that's a tough thing of dealing with that will, dealing with that ability that our human flesh is saying, we're not feeling that. is there another way we could do this? We really don't want to have to go through these steps in order to get us to this place where we need to be. But when you learn to deal with the will, you got to learn how to pray to God that He will give you the strength. And that's the thing that, about God is in that time where Jesus was dealing with the flesh, dealing with His will, God gave him the strength through prayer. And so the first thing, you know, for men is when we come up against challenges, when we come up against things that, you know, our will says, let's do it this way, you know, that's my way of thinking, you know, that's my way of getting that proper end. But we have to go to God in prayer and say, God, I'm struggling with this thing. You know, I need you to help me with this thing. And prayer is a powerful part of helping to surrender our will over to God's will to make the right decision. That's why it's so important for men to get to the altar of God to be able to deal with this this pull, if you will, of the human will. And it's not a joke. It's for real. It's something that is prominent in everyone's life, that they have to learn how to deal with their will. And when you don't do it or don't deal with it correctly, it can get you in some serious predicaments. It can get you in some serious situations that you don't even want to find yourself in. And when we have that understanding, we bounce that off men. We have to bounce it off each other to say, hey, you know, brother, what's going on with you with? You know, it seems that you're adamant that you're going to do it your way. And you know, you're in a mode that you need to come out of. I like this commercial where, I think it's a Snickers commercial, where these guys are playing football and one of the guys is acting like a wimp, if you will, because he doesn't have his Snickers fixed. And so once he gets his Snickers fixed, it's like he comes back to reality and comes back to a place where he's himself again. But that's the way our will can get us. Our will can get us out there on a limb, doing, saying, acting a certain way, because, you know, that's our will. We want to do it that way. But we have to learn how to say, I'm not going to act that way. I'm not going to do it that way. I'm not going to behave that way, because that's not the proper will of God. That's not in His plan, and that's not the way I should act. And so in looking at men dealing with our wills, we have to look at how often do we actually go to the Lord in prayer. And when we look at that example of Jesus always went to God in prayer. And so, you know, like I said, this morning I was a little longer in prayer than I thought I was. And so that's why I was in between the sanctuary studio and the sanctuary home studio, is because a little bit longer in prayer, there were some other things that had gone on in the week that I needed to talk to God about. And so I found myself in prayer a little bit long. And so, you know, one of the things that helps us with our will is to continue to go and talk to God about it, continue to stay in prayer with God about it. And when you do that, what happens is you have a greater chance, sort of like Jesus, Lord, just like Jesus did, you have a greater chance of overcoming the will of the flesh. And, you know, there's no substitute for it. You know, people can downplay it. People can say, oh, it's not, you know, it's not that critical. We don't have to pray that much. But if you look at the example of our Savior in His most difficult situation, in His most challenging moment, He went to God in prayer. And, you know, that's critical for us to deal with this thing. Because, you know, if I get something made up in my mind, with my will, there's basically no stopping. And so I need to avoid getting to a place where I got the wrong thing or the wrong plan, the wrong purpose made up in my mind. Because if I don't, I'm going to end up in a bad place. And then what's going to happen is the will of God for my life will not be accomplished because I refuse to surrender my will over to His will. And you know, that's just the reality of it, because a lot of people end up in the wrong place outside of the will of God for their life because they didn't go to the Lord in prayer on the regular and get his strength to be able to say, you know, this is what I want to do, and this is how I'm going to do it, to saying, you know, this is what I want to do, but I know this is not how God wants me to do it. And so, Father, give me the strength to be able to not do it the way I want to do it, because I know it's not going to turn out for the best of me. And so, as Jesus said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, God. And so as men of God, we've got to approach that every day. Every day we've got to get to a place where we're saying, hey, you know, I know that it's not looking good right now, and I know that a temporary fix would handle it this way, but let me go to the Lord in prayer. Let me pray with God, and let me say, God, if it be possible, can we do it this way? But if not, not my will, but thy will be done. All right, we're in the Sanctuary Studio now. Looks like we got a caller on the line. We'll see if we can get the caller on the line. Hello, caller. You're on the line. Good morning. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How about yourself?
I'm doing well. I was on the road this morning when the show started. We were at the Sanctuary Studio. We're at the Sanctuary Studio now, but we were at the Sanctuary a home studio about 5 minutes ago. we had spent some time in prayer early this morning. Just dealing with some things in ministry, and we stayed in prayer longer than we thought we were, so we were late getting on the road, but we thank God for the technology to be able to start the show and be involved in the show even while we're in transit. So I say to God be the glory. You know, God always makes a way, and I'm just glad about it. You know, there are times when we have a plan, but God has a greater plan for us. And so we have to learn how to surrender our will over to his will. You know, and just an example this morning, I could have got upset and, you know, went off and did some crazy stuff. But it was just like, you know, God, how do you want me to handle this? And he blessed me to be able to handle it. And you know, his will, his purpose is going to be done, and he's going to get the glory. So, you know, that's what we're talking about this morning, is the will of man, how strong it is and how prone it is to go against the will of God, and how we will have to, as men of God, learn to, you know, even ask the question about it and talk to God about it, say, hey, you know, What's going on? Can we do it a different way? But always come back to the ultimate and say, God, but not my will. Thy will be done. Will be done. Dr. Brian?
I'm just taking it in right now, Pastor.
Okay. Catch up with you. Take it in. But what I'm basically saying is that there are times where before we respond, we have to look at the situation and say, is this the will of God for my life, or is this something because my flesh is feeling a certain way or emotional, and is this the way that God wants me to go? And when you begin to start having those conversations on the regular, what happens is you begin to more and more start lining your will up with the will of God. And so if we had more men that would just pause for that second before they make a life-changing decision that will put them outside of the will of God, then I think we would be better off individually in our families and our homes because at that moment where Jesus was, he was in a spot where he could have did it his way, or he could have did it his Father's way. And he said, can this cup pass me? Or could this situation, or could this tough trial pass me? And if I run the other way, and you know, God's will wouldn't have been done. And, you know, who knows what would have happened with the souls of men. And it would have been a good situation. And, you know, it's the same thing with men a lot of times in ministry. You know, people are called to ministry. People are called to do certain things in ministry. And they say, well, that's going to be difficult, or people are going to say this about me, or people are going to talk about me, or I don't know how to do it, or, you know, that's just not me. I can't see myself standing up or talking, you know, in front of people. And what happens is the will of God is not accomplished, and God's will for the person's life is not accomplished, which is not what God wants. And, you know, I see it all the time, especially where we're asked people to do certain things, and you see the anointing of God, you see the plan of God in their life, and they just say, no, that's not me, I'm not going to do it. You know, that's not for me, because their will is, you know, they can't do it unless they can see it. They can't do it unless they feel it. And, you know, that's not surrendering their will over to God's will. We'll use you for example. When we started the Word on the Street, one of the things you were saying that you're really not comfortable with, you know, approaching people or talking to people or in that public arena. But as you see, as soon as you started doing it, God's anointing was there, and he allowed you to operate in his will in a powerful a method. And you know, if you can imagine, you know, the lives that you've touched with that, if you would have said, you know, God, let this pass for me, there's somebody else that could do it better, you know, I'm not this good at it, you know, and, you know, stuck to what your will was, you know, the lives of people that wouldn't have been touched. Dr. G, you still taking
it? Yes, sir. I agree with you, and I think that's why it's so important, as you were saying, for us to especially as Christian men, to be praying, because what I have found with my experience has been is that oftentimes what God's will for us and for me is not necessarily something of comfort. You know, right. In our humanness, we oftentimes, a lot of us become creatures of habit, and we like mm-hmm. to do what we're comfortable doing. We like to do what feels good to us. But a lot of times, what God has for us, we have to first understand that until we walk in his will and until we are used for his purpose, we're really not living anyway. We're just existing and taking up space. But once we get a revelation that there's work for us to do, we have mm-hmm. to yield and follow his guidance, because that's where our blessings are. When we will talk yeah. about living an abundant life and we want to live a good life, our best mm-hmm. life comes when we walk in the will of God. And so with that, though, it's not just always a bowl of cherries, and I believe that's because his strength shows in our weakness, and he uses those things mm-hmm. that are weak to show that he's strong. And so when people may be watching us and recognize that there's certain things that maybe are a weakness to us, oftentimes when they see us doing certain things, they probably think that we're going to fail because mm-hmm. of the fact that they may recognize that we're walking in an area that we're not necessarily strong. But then we watch God show up, and God yeah. shows out, and God's infinite wisdom and power shows through, and then people have to say, wow, there must be a God somewhere, because I remember yeah. when this brother was doing X, Y, yeah. and Z, and I remember when this young man or this young lady had a stuttering problem, and now they're standing in front of the masses delivering the word of God. And so his power shows through even more when he uses us in our areas of weakness.
Absolutely, and I, you know, I use you for example, but I want to go back and just touch on myself. When I was called into the ministry, you know, I was a young thug, you know, in a lot of people's eyes, and probably a lot of it was true. But you know, when people would tell them I was called to preach, you know, people were looking at me, it's like, who is this? You know, some of the older deacons, some of the older preachers, people that had gone the traditional route, you know, it's like, you know, how are you going to preach? And you haven't been in the church this long, and you haven't been a member, you haven't been a deacon, you haven't did this, you haven't did that, and you know, they're looking at me, you know, like how you know, tradition says you're supposed to do it. And it was a thing where, you know, when God called me, he called me in such a powerful way that it was nobody but God called me. So, you know, I knew I was in his will, so no matter what somebody else's man's will was or his tradition, that wasn't going to deter me from going forward in ministry. And you know, through prayer and through, you know, listening to God, through just fasting and staying in his word, it gave me the ability to overcome the flesh to say, maybe these people are right. Maybe I shouldn't do this. Maybe they know what they're talking about. You know, maybe I'm just out of line, or I'm scared, or I don't want to do it. And you know, all of those emotions try to come in. But when you line your will up with God's will, no matter what the outside world or the circumstances are, you can follow through with the will of God. Like you said, that's where your blessings are. You can't trust man to bless you. You can only trust God to bless you. And that was one of the things that David, in his 34th Psalm, he said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continually be in my mouth. And, you know, he was adamant that that's what he was going to do because of his relationship with God. Because of his relationship with God, he knew who God was, and he knew what the blessings of God were. He experienced them firsthand for himself. It wasn't something that someone told him about. That's why in that same song he says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him, because he had experienced it for himself. And so when we experience as men the blessings of God personally, firsthand and up front, what happens is that helps solidify our will. It helps us to connect our will to God's will. And you know, Jesus experienced firsthand his relationship with his Father. And so even in his human relationship, he could say, hey, you know, I need to turn to God. I know I need to overcome this moment of human weakness by turning to God and realize that not my will, but thy will be done. And to realize, like David, I will bless the Lord at all times. And in so many words, Jesus said that I will do the will of God at all times. And that's the way as men we have to get to get away from so much of our emotions and dealing with what we see and how we feel, but get into a mode of, you know, it's a battle of the will. It's a battle of the wills. And when you understand the battle of the wills, you understand that the only way that your will is going to win is if you connect up with the will of God, because the will of God is always going to be best for our lives. It's always going to be what's going to give us the best outcome. And so when we have that mindset of the battle of the wills and who we should connect with, it's sort of like Joshua when he took over from Moses, and he said, who's on the Lord's side? As for me and my house, you know, we're going to serve the Lord. That's where your will is, where your will that says, you know, I know it's not going to be easy. I know it's not going to be popular, but I'm surrendering my will over to God's will. My faith has led my will to stay rooted and grounded in the will of God. And you know, when we can get there and follow that example, it will always work out for our good. That ground.
And one of the things that I just wanted to know, Pastor, is that, you know, Jesus gives us the example that even though he was perfect man and perfect God, because he walked in the human state, he experienced human emotion. And even Jesus, having known the task that was at hand, and because of the knowledge that he had, he knew what he would have to endure to finish the job. And even, you know, for us, we don't even know. You know, we understand sometimes what God's calling us to do, but we don't really know what that all entails. But because Jesus had all the knowledge, he knew the pain and the agony that was awaiting him at the cross. And the example that he gives us is that even though he knew the agony, even though he knew the pain, you know, in that he asked God, is it any way that I don't have to do this. If you can take this cup from me, and I don't have to drink, if you can work that out. But because he was all God and all, he knew that he had to do it. And so it was almost like a rhetorical question. And at the end of it all, he says, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done. And we oftentimes don't even realize that, yeah, there's going to be some things that we go through and some bumps and bruises along the way, but our best life is tied to our destiny and in walking in the will of God. And if we could grab hold to the fact that, see, Jesus knew that there was a work to be done.
Yeah.
And in the same manner, if we can realize that when it comes to lining up our life with the will of God, it's because there's a work to be done. And for us, when we line up and we accomplish that work, not only are others blessed, but we're blessed ourselves by the work that we do in ministry. And the best life that we could possibly have is tied to us being obedient and following the will of God. Who would not follow God if they knew, I'm tired of struggling, I'm tired, people talk about these things all the time, I'm tired of this, and I'm tired of that. Well, then let's do something about it. If we're really tired, then let's take the time, let's get in prayer, let's line ourselves up with the will of God, and let's watch God work in our lives.
Amen. It's just so powerful. I get excited about God when I hear others witness and testify to the goodness of God and what they've experienced. And that's what, you know, we really want other men, you know, in this first word, in his ministry, to get excited about what God can do and, you know, begin to start experiencing God in so many different ways. And the thing about God is that he's not a respecter of person. So, in other words, what he does for someone else, he can do for someone else. It might not be in the exact time frame, but he's not going to say, well, I'm not going to have this blessing for this one or this blessing for this one. But it's in his time and it's in his will. And to get excited about what God's doing currently in your life and what he will continue to do. And that's what I want. We want men to get excited about. You know, and that thing that David said is just so impactful. He said, I will bless the Lord at all times. In other words, his circumstance is not going to stop him from blessing God. That's just a slam dunk. He said, my will is dug in. My will is I dug in with God. And come hell or high water, come typhoon, come 100 degrees, 0 degrees, he said, I will. And, you know, that's powerful to bring out your mouth and say, I will. You talk about me, I will, you know, bless the Lord. You know, you scandalize my name, I will bless the Lord. You know, you use or abuse me, I will bless the Lord. And you know, when that, your will is set like that, God honors that. God continues to give you the strength, like you were talking about earlier, gives you the strength to be able to endure. And who wouldn't want a God like that? But when David said, he said, I will. In other words, you know, okay, do this, do that. Okay, I will. You know, and it's in other words, it's almost a thing of looking at the other alternatives and say, I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to complain. You know, Job said, you know, should I take blessings from God and not expect evil from God? You know, it's God that bless. He said, you know, blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, I'm going to still bless God. I'm not going to curse God and die. I'm going to continue to bless God. And in none of his talkings did Job sin against God. His will was rooted and grounded in God's will. And that's where we got to get to the point. And you draw strength from that, where even in the midst of your circumstances, you know, a lot of challenges are going on in my life this week, this morning. I've been in prayer this week. But that's not going to stop me from praising God. That's not going to stop me from worshiping God. That's not going to stop me from encouraging others to bless the Lord, because I know that God is working it out. I know that his plan is best for me, and these things don't come to overthrow me, but they come to make me strong. And so now it's up to me to walk my talk and to say, okay, yeah, these things have happened, this has happened, this is going on in my family. You know, I went to the Lord in prayer. I'm praying about it. I'm trusting God about it. My faith has got my will to a place where it's solidified with God's will. And I'm going to continue to bless God. I'm going to continue to say I will bless the Lord, you know, because I know that these things are in his plan and that he's working it out. And I'm not going to get sidetracked by anything that physical circumstances are, because I know that those are just a temporary thing. And so when I go with the eternal, the infinite God, you know, how can I help not but to bless the Lord at all times? I will bless the Lord at all times. I know I'm not supposed to be preaching this morning. Dr. Browns, go ahead.
that's the goodness of the Lord.
But can you imagine men of God getting to the point where they say, I will bless God? In other words, that's going to be my will, to be in tune with God's will. Can you imagine that? Where they are living in the midst of harsh circumstances, but they still say, I will bless the Lord. Dr. Graham.
I mean, the thought that I had as you were talking is that, you know, we have to take the bitter with the sweet. And I think the funny thing is that, you know, that's the reality really in every phase of life. When we were in school, some days were easier than others. Some subjects we excelled at, and some subjects we struggled, but we didn't quit school. We didn't walk away from it. We finished and we stayed the course. And in relationships and marriages, you know, you got to take the bitter with the sweet. Every day is not going to be a great day. You know, it's going to take work in anything, in our jobs and careers or whatever. Mm-hmm. However, we are blessed to make an income. Every day is not great. Every supervisor is not pleasant to deal with. But at the end of the day,
Amen.
We have to take the bitter with the sweet, because we have to see the big picture. And if we could get that committed about God as we do about our jobs and every other facet of our life, where we tend to understand that, yeah, we got to take the bitter with the sweet. If we could apply that same wisdom to dealing with God and accomplishing his will, how much more successful would we be? How much more useful for the kingdom would we be if we could simply just get it in our mind that I'm going to take the bitter with the sweet, and I will bless the Lord at all times, no matter what's going on in my life, no matter how folk treat me, no matter what anything that happens around me, I'm going to continue to bless his name, because I know that. And then I like to have you point out the example, you know, should I just take the blessings and not the bad? Do we expect God to just always just make us feel so good? You know, even as parents, we don't do that with our own children. Sometimes we got to tell our kids no. And sometimes we have to be a disciplinarian and enforce rules and regulations that might not make them feel so good. But it's because we see that they're on a certain path, and we want to bring out the best in them. And so the same for our Heavenly Father. He wants to bring out the best in us. And so sometimes that means we need to be chastised. And sometimes that means we need to, no, baby, not now, because you're not ready. And one of the things that I've said for years is that if God truly and gave some of us everything that we asked for, some of us would literally lose our mind. Because we wouldn't be able to handle it. We don't even realize sometimes what it is that we're asking God for. And if he really did some of the things that we asked for, some of us would lose our mind.
Amen, amen. And you know, Jesus spoke in asking. He talked about that if I'm in you, my words in you, and you abide in me, and my words abide in you. He said, you will ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. So what that signifies is that if we have the word of God in us, if we have God in us, what happens is we have the ability to see him and his will and his purpose in our life, so that we wouldn't ask for the wrong things. And you know, when you see that, he said, if you know, I abide in you, when you abide in me. In other words, when we stay in God and we stay in contact with God and we continue to allow God to be in our lives, he says, whatever we ask then becomes not just us asking, but us being under the influence of God to ask things according to his will. And that is powerful because he says, it shall be done unto you. In other words, there's no limit when we ask about the things of God. So you can get excited about that to say, wow, God says, whatever it is, I can ask, and it shall be done unto me if I abide in him and he and my word abides in him. That's a powerful thing to say, wow, God says that basically you have an open, you know, subscription to what you need as long as you're writing that script through my will. Dr. Grimes, am I explaining that correct?
Absolutely, absolutely. And that's the thing that I think that people, you know, a lot of times we fail to recognize that means that we have to put in the time and fellowshipping with God and building our relationship with the Holy Spirit and through prayer, because through prayer our will begins to line up with him. And so therefore the things that we would have asked God for in our flesh, our flesh, mm-hmm. you know, Paul said, I die daily. I crucify my flesh daily. Mm-hmm. So our flesh is being held back. And now, because we're operating in the will of God under the sanction of the Holy Spirit, now our spirit is asking God for what we need, and the Holy Spirit make intercession for us, knowing sometimes what we don't even realize we need for ourselves. And so now the things that we ask for, so people take that a lot of times out of context, because they think, oh, I can just ask God for anything. His word says he's going to do it for mm-hmm. me, he's going to give it to me. But no, because when our will lines up with God's will, mm-hmm. the things that we ask for are the things that God wants us to have.
Right, right. And so he says, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. That goes on to in that John 15, verse 8. It says, herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples. So God wants us to bear much fruit. He wants us to be fruitful. But the only way that we'll be fruitful is to stay in his will. So he said, my Father is glorified when you ask for these things. And his will, and he gives them to us. And so it's like a thing, like you're saying, this abundant life, this thing that would glorify God. If we abide in him and his word abides in us, and we ask for the right thing, then God will provide these things that we will bear much fruit, and God will get the glory. So, you know, the reality is are we trying to bear fruit for ourselves or our will? Or are we trying to bear fruit for God and his glory? And so that's the key to this whole will thing, is when Jesus said, not my will, but thy will be done, that, so that his Father could get the glory, and so that God would get the glory out of it. And so when we're asking things in the will of God and his word, we want his word to bring fruit out of us or to be fruitful so that God can get the glory. And when our minds are focused in on God getting the glory, we have to go to the Lord in prayer and say, God, if I do it this way, I'm going to get the glory. But I want you to get the glory. You know, my flesh might be satisfied, but I understand that that's not going to give you glory. So not my will, but your will be done so that you can get the glory. And when you get the glory, that's because I'm bearing much fruit. And like you said, when I'm bearing much fruit, what happens is my life and my ministry begins to be abundant, and I'm become abundantly blessed. Dr. Grant.
Amen. Amen.
So this whole will thing for brothers, for men, we got to get to the place where we're spending time with God. And one of the challenges, and you know, I say this to men, is, you know, we have to get together and study the word. And not only study the word together, but we have to study the word individually. There's no getting around it. You know, Jesus, in this chapter, in the 15th chapter of John, he says, if your word abide in us. And in other words, we got to get the word in. There's no cut cards. There's no getting around it. You know, we had to put our work in. You know, if you want to be the best, let's do sports for example. You're going to be the best cornerback or quarterback, you know, in the top league in professional football. You got to put your work in. You got to put it in on a daily basis. You got to put it in during the off season. You got to train. So when it comes, you know, game day, game time, that you are operating at the highest level possible to accomplish what you want, and that's to be victorious. And as men, we've got to get that mindset to surrender our will. Part of surrendering our will is to get that word in us on a regular basis through, you know, men's ministry, through studying on our own, and through application. And there's no cut cost. You know, we can get excited. We can, you know, we can say, yeah. But if we're not putting the work in, you know, you get on that field, you're going to get exposed. Somebody's going to put a double move on you. And you're going to be running behind them, chasing them, because you didn't put your work in. And you know, man, we got to be accountable. We got to put our work in. So, you know, that's the challenge today is to learn to surrender our will over to God's will by putting the work in, you know, by putting time in prayer, by putting time in studying his word, you know, and holding ourselves accountable. If your life is not being abundant, you're not being blessed, you're not being fruitful, you know, you need to check yourself and see if you're putting the work in. See if you're doing what God has outlined in his word. Dr. G?
Yeah, I like what you were saying about putting the work in. You know, that's the key for success in anything. And I echo that sentiment. If you want to be successful in anything, you cannot think that you're not going to get what you invest and put into it. People with entrepreneur spirits, they start businesses and they work many hours to get that business off the ground and invest in themselves. And when people are in school working on degrees and things, they're studying and they're putting the work in order to be able to get a return on their investment. And so why not? Same thing in our spiritual lives. Why not take the time to put in that investment so that we can then pull back out of the resources that we've taken the time to fellowship and commune with God?
Yeah, absolutely. So that's the challenge right there. And, you know, that's what the challenge we're going to be getting out to the men and say, hey, put some work in, bro. You know, it's one thing to sit back and complain and moan and groan and cry to God and, you know, ask God, but if you're not putting the work in, God's like, you got my hands tied. you tied my hands. You're not getting the word in you know. So you're not asking for the right thing. You know, you keep asking for the wrong thing. Put the work in. You know what my will is, and then watch your life get better. It's sobering. It's sobering. But I'm so glad that Christ put the work in. You know, he put the work in with praying and seeking his Father's face and said, you know, I come to do the will of my Father. And that's what he kept saying. You know, I came to do the will of my Father. I came to do the will of the one that sent me. When you see me, you see the Father. Is that something that we as men can say? When people see us, do they see God in us? You know, are we putting the work in so that when you see me, you see the Father? You know, that was Jesus' whole thing. He said, not my will. I came to do the will of the Father. I came to do the will of the man that sent me. You know, when you know, he was baptized, you know, John forbade him, but he said, you know, we need to do this so all righteousness shall be fulfilled. When you know, he was going and ministering and his folks were saying, where were you? You know, and he said, I had to be about my Father's business. You know, are we about our Father's business? Are we about his will? Are we about what he wants us to do? Dr. Graham?
I like what you said. Basically, stay the course. Jesus never took his eyes off of the prize. He never took his eyes off of the end result. He knew what his task was, and he stayed focused. We need to, as men of God, be able to maintain a focus.
Yeah, you've got to, and that was the example that was given. And you know, we sometimes get caught up in pity party. And, you know, we gotta get out of that pity party. Talking about what this woman did, and and what this job did and what he did. You know, come on, man. You're not the only one that dealt with problem with the job, problem with the wife or the girlfriend, or, you know, problems, you know. Stay focused, like you said. Get to the point where you can endure, you know, to the end. And that's what God wants us. So we got to encourage each other, because sometimes I might get in a pity party and you might need to snap me out. So come on, man, you know. It's not that bad. Let's pick it up and roll. You know, when that guy does that double move on me, you know, and you know, I get toasted, and the guy scores. I need you to come over and say, all right, man, you know, you ain't gonna get them all. Let's get back into this thing. We still got time. We can win this game, you know, and that's what we need to do as men, not just, you know, point out all the negatives, but to say, hey, you know, all of us every now and then will fall for the double move. You know, but the thing is to realize that in the end we're going to win. We need to remain focused, get back in it, and stay in it until the will of God is accomplished in our lives. Dr. Grimes, anything before we close out?
Yeah, I just like that you said, you know, it's funny because earlier I said we don't even know, you know, what's going to happen, but you just touched on something and you said, in the end we're going to win. And you know what? That's the truth. And so, you know, in other areas of our life, we don't know what the outcome is going to be. We don't know. Mm-hmm. We may have some failures. We may have some successes. But we still put the work in. So if we know what the end result is going to be on this spiritual journey, that the battle's been mm-hmm. fought and the victory has been won, that's another
hey,
reason.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God that,
hey,
that we can stay the course, that we can stay focused because we're going to win.
Yeah,
we've already won. All we have to do is walk into our championship. All we got to do is walk to the podium and get that trophy.
That's what I'm talking about. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. That's good stuff right there, sir.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to ask you to close us out in prayer. Go ahead and close us out in prayer, Doc.
Yes, sir. Mighty and merciful God, our Father, we just thank you for this time of men's fellowship. We thank you for the first word. We thank you for Pastor Kason, Father God, and his vision. And we pray, oh God, that you will continue to strengthen him and continue to build up all the men across this land, Father God. We pray, oh God, that you will continue to grow the ministry. We pray, oh God, that this word would reach the masses, that those will be blessed that have listened and those will be blessed that come into the archives at a later time. And Father God, we pray that you continue to lead us and guide us, oh God, that we will go and tell a dying world about a living Savior. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. God bless everyone, and prayerfully we'll tune in and hear you next time on The First Word. God bless. Have a great Sunday. Talk to you.